Cowboys called me and they're like, hey, man, can you interview CD?
Nobody wants to talk to him.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, God. Okay. Again. Again. We'll do it. I know. So it is pretty weird. I'm sure you've heard others describe this, but we're still living in a COVID world. And so these interviews that we're doing, we're on the tennis court. We're not looking at the field. We're not allowed to. And so when we do these interviews, one of us goes out onto this platform that is literally on looking over one of the end zones.
Yeah.
The player goes to the bottom of this platform.
Bottom.
So you're kind of lording over them.
You're looking down at him?
You're looking down at him.
Okay.
And he is wearing a wireless headset. And then we record some of these back here, or like with Trayvon Diggs, we did it live, but only one of us can be down there. So like when we did Trayvon Diggs earlier, I'm out there on the pedestal. He's looking up at me. You're in here. You can't see either one of us.
No, he just hears the voice of John Facenda.
Right. So it's really weird. It's odd, you know, and we can't do any one-on-ones the way we typically could when practice is over to just go up and have a free-for-all with whoever we wanted to.
Right.
That's just not available because of COVID, and I wonder when we get back to normal, if that's going to be an option moving forward or if they like this system.
Yeah, it's a great question. There's a lot of, like, even reporters in the locker room, like,
yeah.
What's going to become of so many things that we've sort of found out we can live without, but it also makes it better. So I don't know.
All right. Well, here is
what are we even doing?
Here is our sit down with the great CD Lamb.
All right, CD Lamb. So my first question for you, man. I don't know if you're down for this, but you realize that we're like a couple of months away from a full Cotton Bowl and people chanting 100,000 people chanting SEC together in unison. With OU and Texas.
Oh, I did not know that. They're coming together?
Well, I mean, you know, you've been following the news at all?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
You're not down with it, are you?
Not at all.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, very much so.
It makes no sense. It's like you're joining the enemy.
Yeah, I can't do that. I will not be a part of it.
By the way, that is going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
100,000 idiots are going to start chanting SEC before that game starts. And it's going to make me vomit. Like, vomit.
You should probably try to see if you can get college football stadiums to only do things you like.
I wonder if I could do that.
You should try that.
You know,
I'm
at an age now where I feel I can have some of that power.
I would like to see if you
guys,
can pull that off.
Stop this. Let's stop this nonsense. You could never see yourself chanting SEC, right?
I mean, it's just chanting it with the opposition.
Well, yeah. Not with them. Yeah. Just in general, though, could you do it?
I could.
Yeah?
I could do it.
Okay.
See myself doing it.
You think it's good for OU, joining that conference?
It is. It's probably the best thing I feel is for them, you know, kind of one step ahead. And why not compete with the best if you consider yourself the best?
Yeah, that's true. All right, so this is, I don't know, the last time you're out in California, maybe last year. Yeah, you haven't been here, though. Is this totally different? I know it's only been a couple of days, but, I mean, you're wearing a sweatshirt. It's nice. It's cool. Good vibes.
Yeah, this is definitely different. One thing about me, I'm definitely going to keep a hoodie on. That's just kind of, you know, my type of vibe. But it feels nice out here. Oxygen is definitely everything that I could kind of, like, dream of as far as the weather and how training camp is kind of starting off. And as far as the fans, they did a great job of coming out here and showing support.
What do you do in the off season outside of just getting ready for this mess and everything else? What do you do to chill? And
really relax, recover, spend time with my family, kind of travel a little bit. You know, enjoy time with my family and friends. That's pretty much it.
You go anywhere cool?
Puerto Rico. I went to Dorado Beach.
Oh, it was nice.
It was nice.
Nice. How many of y'all went?
Really just two, me and the guys.
Cool. Very good. So you're probably the second – well, you got to be the first player in the history of the league in your second year to have caught passes from four guys who were starters in the NFL. You've gone Baker, Kyler, Jalen. Now you got Dak. And you got Dak for the second year. Mm-hmm. And does that you never had chemistry. I mean, you had chemistry with everybody, obviously. But does it make a difference having a second year with a guy like this with Dak?
Definitely. I take that in a lot of consideration. Just obviously losing him my first year was kind of a bummer. But, you know, all the excitement going into the season before, you know, kind of seeing him go down week five and then battling 11 more weeks without him, it was tough. But, I mean, God has a plan for everybody, and to watch him overcome adversity the way he did and handle himself the way he did just on and off the field, and to see him come out here and compete every day, it just, you know, is better for me, and I feel like it's better for the team.
Yeah. Honestly, do you think that there, in the history of the league, is there a second-year player who has caught passes from four NFL starters? There's no way.
Seems unlikely.
Like, that's – it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
He's got to be the only one ever.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you've really challenged my trivia now.
I know.
This.
I was thinking about it before I did the interview, and I'm like, that's got to be – if it's not a record, he's probably tied with someone, but – that's it's pretty unique.
It really is. That's
for sure. So you when you were coming out of high school, I was reading a bunch of stuff. I followed OU really closely. I saw every snap of your career there. But everybody said before you got on campus what a hard worker you were, like freak show worker. I saw some videos. I'm like, what is this guy doing? He's crazy. When did that start? When did you start taking control of your own situation and saying this is the way to get to the top?
Honestly, it was after my sophomore year of high school, losing in the first round of the playoffs. It was kind of a tradition at Foster. I kind of wanted to break that tradition, and the only way, you know, you could start something, or, you know, make steps to the right direction is starting with yourself. And, you kind of look at yourself in the mirror. And then I know growing up, I didn't really have the best work ethic. And, I figured like it's something that I can do myself that I could change, and then working hard was definitely it. And in order to be successful in the next level, which was college for me, I knew I had to work out, put some muscle on, get a lot faster, stronger. I knew what was at stake, and I knew what I wanted to do in life, and that was to play ball and make it to the NFL. And now that I'm here, it's even harder to, you know, stay. So I got to work even harder to, you know, compete with the guy.
Do you think it's like you're the way that you trained in college? I mean, you know, Oklahoma is not too far away from what you're doing here, but is it a massive difference in the way you have to train to get ready for the competition?
Depends on how hard you're training. It's two different types of training. As far as training for the combine, yeah, it's different from, you know, actually being in the NFL and then training for training camp. So, one, you got strength and speed. You're working on, you know, building your body for the next level. And then actually when you get here, you kind of see what you have to go through to, you know, keep your body in shape, understand what's at stake, and understand your body, understand your work. And just focus on yourself and being better.
Did you have any idea that when you were that your summer before your freshman year at OU, you get to camp around this time probably, and you've got about 6 weeks to figure it out, that you could possibly start on that team like you did?
Yeah, it was tough. Going in, I kind of had that in consideration, just thinking about the guys that they had at, you know, up there already. I could learn from, pick their brains a little bit, and kind of use that to my advantage. I feel like, personally, I feel like I can compete talent-wise with anyone. I have a lot of confidence in myself. I kind of built that throughout the years and just throughout the work that I've put in. And, you know, I remember going in my first training camp. I was just like, I saw a lot of, you know, NFL scouts out there. Obviously, we had Baker, Orlando Brown, you know, who else?
Hollywood. Andrews.
We had Mark. Yeah, we had Oboe on defense. Steven, we had a couple guys on defense, you know, that was making the right strides in college. And my first year, I remember telling Trey Sermon, actually. Yeah, that's who it was. And I was like, bro, it was like a couple months ago, these scouts were college scouts. Now I come here, and now I see Cleveland Browns. I see, yeah, you know, the Texans. It was just, that really opened my eyes. I was like, man, one of these days, these guys are going to be here for me. And I took that serious.
By the way, do you know how hard it is for anybody, not just at a school like that, but for anybody to walk in as an 18-year-old and start immediately?
Oh, yeah.
The second you get on campus – with, you know, you got guys that have been there 3, 4, 5 years, and you walk in as an 18-year-old. That's so incredibly rare.
And he's clearly that.
Yeah.
He is a rare, rare dude.
What did Lincoln teach you that you didn't think? I mean, obviously you knew that the guy had a lot to offer and could help your career along the way. What did he teach you that you weren't expecting, though?
To be patient. Believe it or not, that's probably the most thing, the best thing that he could ever tell me. And him and Coach Simmons, they did a great job of just, you know, understanding the situation. Well, preaching to me the understanding the situation, understanding that patience is definitely the best thing that could happen for me as far as being on the field with other great guys, because normally I am that guy on the field or the one to be that guy, you know, that everyone's watching. But when you get up in the next level, there's going to be a lot of guys that was that guy, you know what I'm saying? So it's going to be, you just be patient throughout the process, you know, enjoy it, have fun while you can. And when your time come, make most of it, because it's not a big window. The opportunity is real small.
So you're still obviously super young. So looking back in the last 5 years, let's say, is the best catch you ever made the catch that didn't count? Do you know what I'm talking about there?
I don't think so. But it's got to be better than the catch in Minnesota for the touchdown this past year.
When he was a freshman against UCLA, he caught a one-handed catch on the sideline that...
Okay, now I know.
It is otherworldly.
Yeah.
And just like Kevin Durant's toe, his toe came down on the line.
Right.
So it didn't count. But it's like through his career, I don't know if he'll have something better than that, as he kind of says here.
Make most of it, because it's not a big window. The opportunity is real small.
So you're still obviously super young. So looking back in the last 5 years, let's say, is the best catch you ever made the catch that didn't count?
Most definitely. Most definitely, 100%.
The UCLA catch, I was there with my kids, and I think they almost had a heart attack. Did you think it was a catch all the way, or did you know that my toe was out?
I knew I stepped out of bounds, but in order for me to make that catch possible, I definitely would have landed weird. So I was perfectly fine with the result.
I mean, it's still a highlight reel, and it didn't even count.
Yeah, it was nice.
So what's up here, second year? I don't know what your expectation levels are for you personally or the team, or I don't know how you approach those things. If you're looking at, okay, I have to do this as far as the team getting that much better, do you look at yourself first and then the team? Like, if I do these things, the team will automatically improve?
I mean, not really. Technically, I'm a guy who loves winning. It doesn't really matter how it happens. Rather, it's me going for a crazy game, or I could not have a stat at all. As long as, you know, we come out victorious, or all the guys on the team is happy. You know what I'm saying? I'm a sore loser, rather, whoever likes it or not. I hate losing. And I'm pretty sure that's everyone. And that's just the ultra competitiveness that I have within me. And I do whatever I can for this team to win, and whether they call my number or not.
So I one thing that I heard early on, it was like CD takes a lot of pride in his blocking downfield. Is that something that is... It's got to be true. I've seen it too many times.
Definitely. That actually happened. That started in college also.
Oh, it did? Definitely. Okay. Didn't care about it in high school?
Nah, not really. My coach tried to get me to do it. I wouldn't do it.
You just got to be careful of the crackbacks. You can't.
I got to knock those off.
Yeah. That's all right. That's all right. All right, dude. Well, I appreciate the time. Good luck this camp. Good luck this year. We'll do it again. We'll do it again soon. A Boomer Sooner.
Perfect. Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Boomer.
All right. We'll see you. There he goes.
So
our old pal CD Lamb.
Yeah, good stuff. I would definitely like to further investigate the epidemic in our country of young men, often younger than CD Lamb, deciding they're just going to wear hoodies all the time.
All the time.
Now, maybe not around the pad, but when you go out, they're wearing a hoodie, and they live in Texas, and they don't care. And I may have one of those young men in my house.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty big in the high school demographic, at least, you know, not a ton of them, but they're out there.
Oh, yeah.
If you look for them. All hoodies all the time. They live in Texas. It's 100.
I know. And I think it's comfortable, and there's a – if you put the hoodie on,
oh, sure.
It does, you're kind of hidden from life.
Hoodies are wonderful.
You know?
But – man.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.